likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
New technology. That, my friends, is the future. Literally, the future. That's how we're going to get where we need to go. And I don't mean new technology the way you think. I mean new technology. Because when I say new technology, you might think, oh, a faster iPhone, a faster rocket ship, I guess, cleaner energy, solar power, whatever. That's not what I mean. I think that us surly bird humans are pretty good guessers. You know what I mean? Like, we'll get you kind of there, I guess. I, generally speaking, me, Dave, the man behind the abs and the pecs, I don't have faith in people individually. I don't believe anybody knows what they're talking about. And when somebody speaks directly to me, I assume they're lying. I assume they are at least giving me mistruths. And if there's money involved, I am 100% certain that I cannot trust this person. That's why I have to get Instacart. Because if I had to actually go out to buy foodstuffs, I'd just be staring opposite the cashier, eyeing them suspiciously, waiting like gunfighters, waiting for them to make the first move. But as human, like as a peoples, as a species, I think we're all right as far as, you know, like we have a problem, we have an issue, we need to solve it. We want to get places faster. So we invent wheels, you know, and the first ones were probably triangular, but you know, a couple thousand years later, we figured it out. We were like, hey, maybe if we make them hexagonal, it'll ride a bit smoother. And then from there, you know, we get what we get. And that's cool. That's all well and good. But I think we're at a point now where we're so behind we're so behind expectations, maybe. And it's odd what we don't have that we should have. Yet we also have stuff that I can't believe we have. It's pretty goofy. Like, what I mean is, I'm sorry, I'm terrible. Did I mention I'm very uneducated? It's like when you watch The Twilight Zone, you know, and they have people and they're colonizing Jupiter because we already like ran through Mars and destroyed it and stuff. But now we're trying again. We're like on our third planet from Earth and it's like 1994, you know, like they had pretty high hopes, pretty high expectations as far as human progress in that sense. All right. So we're way, 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 way behind, you know, if you want a more modern example, because we can't all sit around watching The Twilight Zone and praying for the return of better days like Dave does. So I'll give you a more recent example. And by more recent, I mean, oh, I don't know, 1985 or so. But it wasn't in Back to the Future 2. I'm sorry, I've never seen a Back to the Future movie in its entirety. I just can't. Michael J. Fox has always just bothered me. I just don't like him. But anyway, didn't all the future bits with the fucking flying cars and the hover whatevers and stuff like that, didn't that all happen wasn't that supposed to happen in like 2010 or something ridiculous like that? We're kind of behind is what I'm saying to you right now. And you might think, well, Dave, we're getting there, to which I say, haven't you been paying any attention? Like, yeah, I can get, you know, free porn. That I would have, who would have thunk it? I would have never have thought in my wildest dreams that I would just be able to type in whatever fucking ghoulish thing makes me rock hard that day and actually get it free of charge. I mean, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild indeed. If you would have went back in time and told Dave, who was desperately trying to beat his parents to the mailbox to get the latest Girls Gone Wild VHS tape before they found it, if I would tell him, Dave, there's a better way, young Dave would probably start crying if he knew the luxuries that my old penis enjoys and inflicts upon others. But technology. I think to get to where we want to go, right, to get to Mars as quickly as humanly possible, so we can fucking waste it, so we can trash it completely and then just move on to whatever the fuck. I think in order to do that, or in order to do the free energy for everyone, man, yeah, peace sign thing, I think we can do it. But as Hank Azaria said, in some a shame about no, what's that movie? Along Came Polly. I don't know. I had 9 different movie titles struggling for supremacy in my mind. What did he play? Klaus Claude? It's Hank Azaria. He says, "This is not the way," is what he said. The way we're going about this, I don't think that's how we're going to do all the cool shit that we've been, you know, that we've been lagging behind on. What I mean is like space travel, right? I do not believe that when humanity ascends to the stars and actually starts seriously like colonizing planets or whatever the fuck, or even trying. I mean, actually, now that I think about it, who knows what's going on? Like, they don't tell it. Like, the government's not obligated to tell you when they launch a fucking rocket ship into the moon. You know, who knows what they've been doing. Anyway, whatever. My point is, to get that far away, to travel that kind of distance, to make that kind of energy where it's abundant or infinite and accessible to everyone across the world, we're not going to be using fucking power plants or giant spinny windmills or solar panels. Like, that's fucking chicken feed. Those are old ideas, right? Getting into a rocket and you get putting a lazy boy on a firecracker and shooting it into space, that's like caveman stuff, right? It's like surgery. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, look at all the complex things that we can do, and we can cut our tits off and make fake dicks or whatever. Okay, fine, great. But it's pretty barbaric. It's pretty, when you honestly think about it, it's pretty gross. So I don't believe that the actual space travel, that is the space travel where we actually start rocking and rolling and doing the Star Trek shit, I don't think that's just going to be, oh, need to go fast to go far, sit in thing that goes super fast. I don't think that's going to be it. It's going to be another new method of travel that's not going to involve peeing in a suit for 3 weeks while you sleep and, you know, get jettisoned wherever it is that you want to go. I mean, that's, I think it's silly. I don't know. I think it's kind of goofy, actually. And plus, honestly, really, the whole like, oh, it's so exciting with the SpaceX and this new exploration of space and whatnot. It's like, all right, well, what are the, like, okay, yeah, we've been going to the moon for what, 50 something years? I don't know. What else? Yeah, but Dave, now normal people can go to the same place that we've been going to for 60 years. Well, I mean, not even that. I mean, well, what is the public? Then they take William Shatner and send him to space? I don't know what's happening. What's going on? Are they just like kind of left orbit? They went into like kind of space, not really outer space, but so technically you're in outer space, I guess. Give us $100,000, that kind of thing. I'm just not impressed. It's like, guys, you're going to have to do something wild. And I don't think shooting a Roomba into Mars. Well, okay, great. Wow. We got pictures of rocks. Sweet. I will put this over here in my rock files, for further use. It's just, I don't know, man. It's kind of disappointing. I really hope. Do you understand how demoralizing it would be to find out the truth? Like, could you imagine if the government was like, no, guys, seriously, we got nothing. Like, we are really not hiding. I bet you anything, all the tales of, you know, alien spacecrafts and the CIA cover-ups, this, that, the other thing, moon, stars, quasars, rocket ships, alien abductions, blah, blah, blah. I bet you the government planted those stories to make it seem like they're legit. Wouldn't you? Right? If you're getting all this fucking money and all is well and nobody hears any kind of zany weird stuff, you kind of got to justify your budget. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were like, yeah, there's nothing going on, guys. We've never, ever been contacted by anything. We didn't even get ham radio from a camel yet, but we're listening. We're listening. And that's kind of upsetting and disappointing because, you know, You gotta, billions and billions, like all the money and, you know, isn't it just kind of weird that they just stopped trying. They were like, oh, we're going to go to the moon a bunch of times and then we're just going to fucking forget it. It's not going anywhere. And then we're still just like, well, okay, space travel. What do? Well, we get in a fucking plane and we launch it into space and there's rockets and stuff. We just blast. It seems so wasteful. And then like, so they shoot a spacecraft into the air and then like the rocket part just fucking falls off. Like what is this? Can it look cooler at least? Is it smaller? Is it like phones? I don't know. If it was like phones, it would be getting gradually bigger. Anyway. New technology. See, I'm a visionary. I want new ideas. I want brand new methods of getting shit done. Let's leap boldly, head first, out of 1960s, you know, and shooting rockets into the sky and seeing what happens. Let's think outside the realm of, oh, I don't know, sanity. For that, my friends, is where the future lies. And, you know, look, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm an old man. I'm not doing too well. The only thing that keeps me opening my eyes from the sweet death-like release of dreams is the hope that someday, sometime, humanity will get it right. And I can have my motherfucking sex robot. That's really all that's keeping me in the game. I mean, you know what? Look, I'll settle for like virtual reality fucking if it's good, if it's like acceptable, I guess. You know, I'll take some side effects. All right, that's fine. You know, I'll I'll get the occasional computer virus here or there. Like, you know, you can't make an omelet and all that. You can't fuck an omelet, I guess. But yeah, that's really my hope, because you can always count on humans to be top notch when it comes to coming, right? Like every new technology, it's like, all right, how can this get me off? Right? Like I want to go find prostitutes faster. I'll invent an automobile, right? I mean, sure, you can't fuck a car. I mean, you could fuck a car, I guess, but the thing exists to get you to fucking faster. So I have some kind of hope that all the, all the lonely boys out there now grow up to be sexless teens and adults and really, really get on the fuck robot train, because that's a pretty hot train. And I think we need to be on it as soon as humanly possible. Really. See, because I'm a solutions oriented person. And my problem is jizzing. I just need a little bit of help over here. You know, I need a pair of sweet, delicate T-800 hands to, you know, help a brother out. Like, just, you know, a little bit. Just a little bit. Gently. Gently. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 149, where we are all about solutions. Also, I gotta apologize for last week's episode. I guess there was something in the water last week, because I listened to the show back because I lost a bet, and boy, I was pretty excited. It was nice. I think I brought good energy. Like, I was excited to talk, as I should be. That this was fun. I like it. But the problem was, here's the thing, because with this mic, it's, I got to get right up and kiss the coochie, you know what I mean? Because it's a dynamic mic, not a condenser mic. Condenser picks up everything. Dynamic is talking in the coochie. So I gotta get right close to it. But my problem is, I lose my mind and I start getting animated, and then I start popping my peas very violently. And that's not very pleasant to listen to. And plus, you know, you hear me wheezing and sweating and stuff like that. So that's not fun for anybody, really, except my doctor, I guess. It keeps him busy, give him something to do, but give him something to worry about. But yeah, so I'm gonna try to ease up a bit and make, you know, a more calming listening experience. Really here, because again. Solutions is my business, and business is, we're closing down. Sorry about that, guys. I'm going to have to lay all you off. The solution business ain't going so well. Speaking of solutions to, I don't know, the problem of having too much blood, let's say, sitting directly to my left, looking tantamount to technologically terrific, looking soluble in his solutioning, he is the man of the hour, the tower of power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal, Count Dracula. What it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. Technology is indeed a wonderful and mysterious thing. Yeah, Count, you're up on the, you're up on what the kids are up to these days. What? Tell me, in your, let's just say, wizened, elongated life, and all the many colorful experiences that you've had throughout your numerous lifetimes, what do you recall as just the tipping point in technology for you, coming from the old world, let's say?
Oh, well, Dave, it seems like just yesterday where they invented that thing where you can bend a saw and play it like a violin. I mean, it's amazing what these kids are up to.
Hmm? Yeah. Yes, Count. Yes, I see. I see that right now. Do you have a question? Can you please ask me a question as soon as possible? I'd like that.
It's time for Ask Dave. Then I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave, any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
I'm ready.
Dave, I saw that they are coming out with a new expansion for Cyberpunk 2077. Speaking of technology, see, that's why I'm asking you this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I connected the dots. Thank you. Proceed.
Well, are you going to play it?
Yeah, probably. Eventually. You know, eventually I'll take a look at it. I mean, I don't care at this point in time, right now. Like, I'm so video gamed out at present. Like, I got way too much to do on the video game front to worry about Cyberpunk 2077. And you know what? I mean, in my mind, I was kind of surprised. Because why bother? I mean, didn't this plane go down already? Like, aren't we just visiting the grave at this point? Like, that game's pretty done, right? Isn't it over? Hasn't everybody just kind of given up on that? I don't. And I'm not one of those avid Cyberpunk 2077 hate mongerers, mind you. I liked it. I had fun with it. I thought it was cool. I thought they could have done a lot more with it. Which is, whenever you have these kind of open world games, it's always so disappointing to me, because like Grand Theft Auto, I mean, why is it now that in these quote unquote open world games, there is significantly less activities to do than there was in like Vice City? You know, it just seems like they skimp out on all of the aspects of there's an open world in quotes for the sake of having an open world, if that makes sense. It's just like, yet they leave out all these features and all these things that would make it seem more like a living, breathing kind of world. Where stuff changes, stuff happens, or whatnot. I don't know. But yeah, I played Cyberpunk 2077 a lot. Like, I have like, I think I played that. I think I have like over, actually I could tell you right now. Let's see. Cause Steam keeps track of this stuff because they want to know how a hardcore gamer like Dave, you know, like just an elite kind of world-class gamester, they want to keep track of my time. So let's see. Cyberpunk 2077, I have played 282 1.1 hours. And there's an update, and it's 15 gigs. Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty. I don't know. I mean, look, I'll watch this later. I don't really care right now, because, and it's not the game's fault. It's not the game's fault. It's just like, it's strange to me. It's like, this, what? They could have just saved their money and just stopped, maybe started a new game or something. I don't know. But I mean, I guess it's nice that they didn't abandon the game entirely just because it didn't launch so smoothly and a lot of people were disappointed. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. But I'm sure I will play it sometime, count. But I don't see myself doing so or getting back into it anytime soon. Mainly because I haven't even played all my Series X games that I've gotten yet. So I think I'm gonna have to go through those a little bit before I do anything else.
Oh well, are you going to get that Game Pass thing, Dave? It's only $1 for the first month.
Wow, Count, you came prepared, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know what any of this means. I just looked it up very quickly before we went on the air so you don't get mad at me and try to touch me in an inappropriate and traumatic place.
It's a pretty good tactic, if I'm being completely honest with you. But, you know, the Game Pass thing, people rave about that. And I've read about it, and it sounds wonderful. And it's like, you can download and play a bunch of different Series X games or old Xbox games, as long as you're a member of this, like, monthly, it's kind of like Netflix for video games, I guess. I don't know if it's probably different, but I don't care. It's close enough. So it's one of those type dealies, right? And I've read a bunch of good stuff about it. I've heard a lot of good stuff about it from my parole officer and whatnot. And anything to keep Dave off the streets is what I hear a lot in regards to people recommending it to me. And that's cool. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it eventually, because there are a bunch of games on there that I do want to try, that I've always wanted to play, but just for whatever reason could never get around to it, and I'm not going to buy them. So I thought, okay, that's very cool. I will certainly get that. But again, I get overwhelmed very quickly, especially with video games, because I got the system and I bought a couple of games for it or whatever. I have, what, six? I think I have six. Seven. I bought seven games for it, and I haven't played any of the sports games yet. So, you know, I want to get into them I want to at least beat a couple of the single player games or whatever before I start just opening the fucking, you know, floodgates and going into this Game Pass stuff. I really do think there's just too many options for everything now. I think. Especially with games. It just seems like there are too many games. There's just too much shit. There's too many companies. There's too many people making too many problems. And not much love to go around. You know? And can't you see that this is a land of gamer passes? Some might say. And that, I don't know. It sounds weird, but it's like, if I had Game Pass, I would just sit there and I'd be like, okay, well, what do I want to play first? It's like, oh, well, I want to download this one. I want to get this one. I've always wanted to try this one, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, well, what are we going to play? You know, it's like you have so many things at your disposal. You have so many things that you could play. You never really make a decision. You never really, you know, you play a game for like an hour and then you try something else, and you never really get invested enough into any one game or any one world. And I think that's bad for humans. It's very bad for humans. Options are great. Options are very, 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 some might say essential to some kind of happiness, but there's too many options all around particularly in entertainment slash video games, whatever the fuck. And in my opinion, what is it? It's like they did like a study. I forget where I heard this or somewhere. I heard this somewhere. Somebody smart said it, so I believe him. And it was something like in places where like people as humans, it's not really like a geographical thing or a group thing. It's a human thing. Humans are good with a couple of options. But when you get a multitude of options, it's painful to decide. Like there's a point where there's too many choices. And that sounds like it could never possibly be, but it totally is. And I think that's where we are. And that's why everybody's so fucking miserable. And that's why, you know, Tinder is the end of civilization as we know it. And because there's just too many options. Why? You can't pick one because you have 900 new options each and every single day. I mean, obviously, if I was on there, I'd, you know, like these abs, these pecs, these fucking lats, you know what I mean? But again, my parole officer, let's just say, limits my contact with the outside world. But options. So I don't know. I don't think so. Or you know what? Here, I'm not going to play this expansion anytime soon. I'm just not interested. Same with the Warcraft expansion. I do not care. Like the, oh boy. And honestly, I don't know. Well, actually, I do know what would get me interested in Warcraft again, at least right now, because I'm sure I'll go back to it at some point in time. But I mean, player housing would totally get me back into Warcraft, because I think it's a fucking crime to have a massively multiplayer online game that's been around for 15 fucking years now and we don't have player housing. Like, how is this even possible? How is this even possible, right? But anyway, whatever. I'd love that a great deal. Yeah, just games. I don't care. I don't know. It's all weird. But I did on the video game topic count. I did hear something. I don't know the why do I want to say veracity? That's not what I mean. I don't know the no veracity is that. I don't know the velocity of the vicissitude of this particular vivaciousness, but I heard that there's some big news on the gaming front that the next Grand Theft Auto was kind of sort of maybe talked about for like a second. By Rockstar Games. How's that for progress, guys, right? So apparently, from what I heard, I didn't look into this because, you know, whatever. I'm not into that whole verifying sources thing. I'm not verified. I think that's the word I was looking for. But apparently the new Grand Theft Auto, or the next Grand Theft Auto that they're going to do, the main character is going to be a girl. Okay. Great. I don't know. And you know, I heard that people are getting upset about this, that people are up in arms because the female's or the protagonist is a female. I'd like that, because it's no secret Dave loves to play dress up with his female video game characters. That's really all I want to do. If you could just make like a girl closet simulator, I'd buy it. I'd get the collector's edition if it came with like some nice mittens or something. I don't know. I'd get it. But anyway, if anything, I think that would make the game super Dave friendly. Because I don't think I've ever beaten a Grand Theft Auto game. No, I never have. I've never beaten a Grand Theft Auto game in my life. I get to a certain point in these games where It's, remember in Sling Blade, where at the end, Carl, the interesting, the really interesting guy, let's say, he goes back to the mental institution, the nervous hospital, you know, that turned him loose at the beginning. He goes back home and somebody asks him about like the outside world or something. And he says, it's too big. It was too big. And you have to be at a certain middling IQ level to understand that statement. But I got it. I understood exactly what young Carl meant when he said that the world outside was just, it was just too big. It's just too big. And that's how I feel about Grand Theft Auto, well, video games, well, life, really, now that I think about it for 2 seconds. But there's just a point where I'm like, I'm running around, I'm doing stuff, I'm beating hookers to death, you know, in well, real life and in video games. And it's just kind of like, where's the barrier between real life and my video game life here? And you know, now I realize it's tits. So I'm going to, and the whole like, in Grand Theft Auto, you know, you could buy clothes and I don't know, cars or whatever. I don't care. Like, I never bothered with any of that shit. I never really cared how my guy looked. I think probably because he was just a guy, he's just a fucking hoodlum. Like, I don't care. Wear whatever. It doesn't bother me. But if I'm playing as a girl, I'll get, you know, I'll get my nails done. I'll look great. Grand Theft Auto as a girl. Also, besides just feeding my rampantly detestable penis, we'll say, if anything, I'm happy that the next Grand Theft Auto character is going to be a girl because it makes the game much easier. See, like if you have one police star, let's say, right? If you have one star, you just can hit the cry cheat code. You know, you get pulled over, you got one star, you just get out of the car and you go like up, down, left, right, A, B, A, C, 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 or whatever. And then she starts crying and then your star goes away. And then, you know, that's it. That's all that happens. And then if you get like 4 stars, that's cool too, because you only go to prison for half the time. It'll cost you a lot less to get out. Or, you know, you could like, if you could like pump the trigger buttons really fast and give the cop a hand job and, you know, just let you go anyway. So if anything, the game's going to be very, very easy. It's going to be super duper easy. So I'm looking forward. This will probably be the first Grand Theft Auto I've ever beaten in my life because of all the, let's just say, options that a female protagonist would have, otherwise known as oppression.
That was very informative and offensive, Dave.
You're welcome, Count. So, okay, let's get to it. What's everybody want to talk about? What's everybody pumped for? What's everybody excited about? I think I know. What is that IC count? Is it the champions of the gridiron? Once more, taking to the fields, the Elysian fields of battle, and smashing their heads together, incurring wanton, furious brain damage, only to murder their families in a few short years from now. That's right, kids. The NFL season has begun, and we already have a game to discuss. Isn't that something? Isn't that wild? See, here's the thing about me. You may think, well, Dave, what do you know about football? The answer is very little. Which is exactly why you should listen to me. Because I come at this without any preconceived notions or facts of any kind. I am truly objective. I go with my gut. And that's what life is about. You think I get these ideas through, I don't know, research, facts, math? Bite your tongue. I feel my way through. And it's the same thing with anything. Like if I think when I talk about technology, or if I'm talking about, I don't know, a product of some kind that's technologically related, I think it's good, because I'm not a big tech person. All right. I don't know a lot of specifics or exacting things. I just kind of give my thoughts on how things work for me. And I think most people are a lot closer to me than, you know, whatever. So, I mean, for example, like, I don't know, if I get a phone or whatever, and I tell you what I think of my phone, sure, I'm not going to go into all the dorky, you know, comparisons or whatever that a real reviewer would do, because, you know, that takes time and whatnot. But you're probably closer to me, just a normal fucking, well, subhuman person, actually, than you are to like a pro, you know, super tech guy or whatever, who's going to really be able to tell the difference between a fucking $500 pair of earbuds or, you know, whatever doofy bullshit I can afford. Right. So I don't know. I think that's good. So my football, you know, our football talk here between the count and myself, it's very, well, sensual, obviously. That goes without saying. But it's also very heartfelt. It's very soulful, is what it is. If you want stats and analytics and all that shit, go elsewhere, my friends. But if you want the true essence of the game, just a couple of fucking alpha chads sitting around talking about the sport of kings, sit down. Kick your feet up, because you came to the right place. All right, let's begin. So the first game of this season was the Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions, that I called, by the way, and predicted before the playoffs began. Thank you very much. Versus the Buffalo Bills. And the Rams got the ever-living shit beat out of them. They lost by like, what, 20 points? It was like, what, 11 to 31 or 10 to 31 or whatever. They got stomped on. And I'm not a doomsayer, my friends. I mean, I don't really care. I don't know much about, I don't know anything about the Rams, really. But it's the first game. It's very, very early in the season. And it always kind of turns out where, I mean, isn't this every season? It always starts off and there's always certain games where it's like, what the fuck? What was that? What was that about? You know what I mean? Like, the early season isn't really a good predictor of who ends up winning at the end for the most part. I don't know. I don't remember. But it just, that's kind of what I like about it. You know, it's like every year it's like this new kind of thing. A team that sucked last year might be pretty good this year. And it's, I don't know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. It's kind of neat to see. I mean, see, that's the thing. I don't watch the games. Oh my God, no. Just tell me who wins and I'll do the rest. Like, what's fun for me is following up on the aftermath and like seeing where shit goes, because I don't like sports. I like stories. All right. So that's the kind of stuff that interests me. And the Bills did really good last year and they got pretty far. But they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And then with a vengeance, they beat the shit out of the Rams in the first game of the season. So cool. I mean, that's neat. I would like it if the Bills won. The Bills, you know, the Bills in the 90s, they were in the Super Bowl like all those times. What was it, 2 years in a row or something like that? I don't know. The Bills were like always good, I remember. But they just got a reputation for not being able to win the Super Bowl. And then they've sucked for the majority of my adult life, and now they're good. So cool. Good. I would be very, very, I would be pleased if the Bills won a Super Bowl. That'd be cool. That'd be pretty neat. I like mixing things up a little bit. I don't want any team to really dominate for too long, unless it's a team I bet money on so I could buy a lot of drugs. I don't know. But yes. So we have that. As for any key moments in the game, I don't know. I don't care per se. Again, I am results oriented. Just take me to the end. Give me the scores and I will let my imagination do the rest. But I do have a bold prediction that I want to say right now on the record on this day. Currently, it is Sunday. Actually, let me see. When do the Buccaneers play? The game probably hasn't started yet. All right. Today at 8:20 p.m., the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to face off against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Bucs are probably going to win, probably, I would imagine. But, hear me out. We go big here when we talk sports. Do we not count?
I suppose, I don't know.
Good enthusiasm. So I'm going to make a bold sports prediction. All right. I am going to state for the record that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not going to make the playoffs this year. I think this is going to be a tremendously shitty year for Tom Brady. And it's punishment. It's karmic punishment straight out of the depths of Tartarus for all the drama bullshit with him and the retiring, coming back, missing the 11 days or whatever of the preseason. I whatever's going on with him and his wife, of course we know what's going on with his wife. Tom, you're driving me crazy. Where are you going? Of course. Right, of course. It's not enough. He's a millionaire, you know, the best football player of all time. It's just not enough. It's never enough. It's just problems. What's wrong today, lady? What catastrophe have you birthed today? But anyway, So apparently there's some issues with them, and I think all of this shit, all of this stupid ass fucking baby middle school drama is going to fuck with Tom Brady's season big time, and also, you know, getting a little long in the tooth there. So I just think all these things combine to make a pretty dull, bleh year for Tom Brady, and he doesn't have many of those years left. So I think this year is gonna, bold prediction, Tampa Bay Bucks will not make the playoffs this year. You heard it. I'm saying it clearly using the brand spanking new technology of my heart. I just feel it. I feel, see, Count, I'm really, really good at picking up vibes. See? Like, wherever I go, I can just look at a female and go, she is terrified of me. I feel it. I just feel it. So I'm pretty good at this. And I just think, when I think about the Tampa Bay Bucks, see, I sit there, I close my eyes, and it's like I astral project over the stadium, wherever the Tampa, over the giant sailboat that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play on, you know? And I just pick up real bad drama vibes coming from the Bradester. And so that's my, and again, the season just started, but that is my first outlandish bold statement. Already off to a phenomenal start. One game played, and the Bucs have yet to take the field. But that's what I'm going with. I just think it's going to... I got a real bad feeling about this. And he so should have retired when he went to Tampa Bay and led them to the Super Bowl. You done fucked up coming back. from that, because it doesn't get better. It just doesn't get better than that. But, you know, we shall see. That, my dears, remains to be seen. All right, you know what? I just discovered some role-playing game news. It's, you know, look. At the end of the day, I'm a fan of Savage Worlds, right? Savage Worlds is a role-playing game system. It's like a universal role-playing game system. You could use it for a bunch of different settings. They call it Savage Worlds. It's a stupid fucking name for a rules setting. I mean, a rules system. It sucks. As a name, Savage Worlds for a rules system. Anyway. And I checked Pinnacle's website. Pinnacle is the people who make Savage Worlds. And I've said this 10 billion times. Savage Worlds is great. For if you're new, if you're just getting into role-playing games and you want to learn a system that you could use for a myriad of different types of game settings or whatever, and you want to just learn one system, because that's always the, you know, when you play a new game, that's always the thing, right? You have to learn like a new setting, you have to get in a new mindset or whatever, for whatever type of game you're playing. If you're used to like Dungeons and Dragons, for example, and then you want to try like a space game, you know, it's different. You got to kind of be in a different place mentally or whatever. I don't know. And then on top of that, you got to throw in, if, you know, it's a different game, it's probably got different rules. So it's very useful, to new players to just learn one basic set of rules and dice mechanics and stuff that you could just kind of superimpose over any kind of setting that you want. So I am all 100% for the spirit of Savage Worlds. And I think, you know, it's been through numerous editions by now, and it's still very it's supposed to be easy. There's a difference between being easy and being basic, I think. I don't know. I like streamlined. I like kind of quick, kind of to the point. But at the end of the day, it's a little bit too basic for my taste. And you will just outgrow it. I always say that about Savage Worlds whenever I talk about it. It's cool at first, but you will outgrow it. And it's something I can't ever get into for very long, because it just seems like there are obviously more, like, there are just obvious things when you're making a character that take precedence, I guess. I don't know. It's something where I just find myself making the same kind of character over and over again to survive because of the way the mechanics work. I don't know. I don't want to get into it too much, but I do want to talk about this this setting. So, you know, Pinnacle, the company, so they make the rules. So Savage, you buy a Savage World book. It's just a book full of, it's just rules on like how to make a character and stuff like that. And then on Pinnacle, they do all kinds of different settings and stuff that you use those rules for. So they have, you know, whatever, pirate games or typical fantasy games or science fiction games or Deadlands, which is a very cool, like Wild West with zombies and monsters and stuff game. Very neat stuff. So I just saw on their website, we're going to be reading directly from their website, a new game that caught my eye that I've never heard of before. Apparently it's not out yet. I don't like this. It's very curious to me, the decision to do this. But anyway, I'm going to read this to you and you make the call. The game is called Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R, because Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me. It's called Holler, an Appalachian Apocalypse. Now, you put the word apocalypse in anything, and I'm interested. So let us read. It says, adventure, rebellion, fairy tale, and gothic horror in Appalachia. You know what, man? You can't just mash words together. They kind of have to fit and make sense. This Mad Lib description of a book is, it's a little early for me. But anyway, let's read on. In Holler, the mysterious big boys, in quotes, own the mines, mills, and logging operations. They rule over every aspect of their workers' lives, subjecting them to extraordinary dangers on the job and crushing oppression outside of it. The big boys have transformed the land of Holler. Rivers bubble with strange chemicals, strip-mined mountains crumble into valleys, and the air is choked with a toxic fog known as the Blight. The flora and fauna of the Holler grow more monstrous by the day. Demons of every description lurk in the forest. Mutant cryptids haunt villages with their strange cries and appetites. Vengeful haints, I don't know what a haint is, H-A-I-N-T-S. Vengeful haints leer from abandoned shacks and lonely cliffs. No one is coming to save the people of Holler. They've got to take matters into their own hard-worked hands. It'll take miners, granny women, it literally said granny, G-R-A-N-N-Y, women, granny women, okay. It'll take miners, granny women, gougers, moonshiners, bluegrass pickers, and holy rollers willing to fight and die to protect their culture, customs, and families. Folks who have the bravery to stare straight into the abyss and spit in its eye. And then, of course, they sell you a bunch of shit. This, I don't understand. This just sounds like this could be a Deadlands setting. Why is this its own game? This is just that we can do this. Guys, we can do all of this in Deadlands. As a matter of fact, this sounds a lot like Deadlands. I don't get this. This is its own game, apparently. I don't get this, but they want to charge me $125 for a fucking box set, and you can suck not only my dick, but several dozen others. Because no. Homie, don't play that. I don't think so. So there's that. That's new, I guess. That's new. Yeah, that's certainly new. Now look. If you go to the Pinnacle website, you check out the Savage Worlds thing, they have all of their games and stuff, and I like a great deal of these ideas. Like, for example, 50 Fathoms is a Savage Worlds setting, and it's probably my favorite role-playing game of all time. It's like a pirate. It's like a high fantasy pirate setting where you're on this, it takes place on this world that's drowning. So like it's kind of water worldy, where there's not a lot of dry land. Dry land is at a premium. So there's big pirate ship stuff and you could be like, you know, walrus men or whatnot. It's like if Spelljammer was cool and in the water, it would be that. And yeah, I like 50 Fathoms a whole bunch. I think it's super, super great. And I like it a lot. You know, Rippers is great when you play a monster hunter in Victorian England. Deadlands, I love Deadlands. Not too keen on like Lost Colony or the other one, the one with the Deadlands, Hell on Earth. Yeah, Hell on Earth with the I love post-apocalyptic shit, but that's a little bit too much for me here. And yeah, so they have, you know, a bunch of different flavors. That's nice, but a lot of them kind of are a bit generic, and don't, you know, they're cool ideas. But again, at the end of the day, you will outgrow a great deal of this stuff. And a Holler, I mean, look, in this age of, see, this is the shit I'm talking about. Like, if these people had to actually put up their house, if they had to get another mortgage on their house to fund their idea, Holler, an Appalachian apocalypse, would never be made. right? Because it's not that strong. Did anything I just read, did any of that grab you? Probably not. If you play these games, does that sound cool to you? It's just, to me, just like this should be a Deadlands adventure. Why do you want me to pay $125 for a whole new game that sounds a lot like Deadlands? This is the Kickstarter. This is what I fucking keep saying. When you're playing with the house's money and you're like, hey, you know what? I got a half-baked idea for a shitty role-playing game. Why don't you guys fucking pay for it? And I actually have no idea if this was kickstarted or not. I just assume everything was kickstarted. For the past 10 years, every single thing I encounter, I assume has been kickstarted. So I'm going to assume this as well. Even if it wasn't, the hundreds of thousands of dollars they've gotten from their loyal fans that they've fleeced contributed at least to this. You know, they probably had a couple grand left over where they could puke out another fucking game. When it is your little baby nuts on the line, when you have an idea for whatever it is, role-playing game, movie, you want to make a movie, you have a band, you want to record an album, blah, blah, blah. When it's your fucking money, when it's your ass on the line and you have to succeed or it will hurt, that is the place where quality products come from. If you're just playing with the fucking house's money, you get Holler, an Appalachian Apocalypse. Enjoy, guys. It's only $150. Now I'm agitated. So, I'm going to end on a story that shall delight no one but myself. Do you know when you see something and you're like, hey, man, I think I just saw something that I cannot believe. Your eyes just casually glance over something and you misread something or, you know, something just doesn't seem right. I guess, right? You look over something quickly and the words look a little bit, I don't know, weird, and you think you read something or you think you saw something that you didn't see. Well, that happened to me in very sensual fashion a really, really long time ago. I don't know if I've ever told this story before. Jeez, now I'm just wandering through their website looking. I'm just like, sell me something. Please, please, please interest me so I can spend money. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm being rude. I'm not focusing on my story. I remember a long, long time ago, before the wind, before the snow, I was at a bookstore back when they had such things, such amenities were around. And I was at a bookstore and I'm wandering around just looking. On a side note, you know what I always loved? I remember ever since I was super, super young, I always really loved blank books. Like hardcover, you know, like the with lined, it has to be lined pages. I need lined pages in my blank books. Not for like journals or diaries or anything like that, because nothing interesting happens to me. So my journals would be very boring. They would be tray boring. It would just be pictures of titties and stuff like that and jizz smears on the page. There's really nothing interesting going on here. It would be like that part in The Simpsons when Lisa called like the Corey hotline, you know, and he's like, hey, it's Corey. let's see what's in the paper today. And then you just hear him like flipping through a paper. It's like $2 a minute or something. Anyway. Yeah, I love like hardcover blank. I always had this fantasy of having like a book that I actually used to write stuff in. I don't know, ideas, math problems, whatever the fuck, debt, you know, and you know, like an Indiana Jones's Indy's dad journal, you know, something like that. That like this is my book that I write in when I have an idea. Obviously, it's blank because, well, you can do the math on that. But it's a nice book, isn't it? I don't know. I like nice hardcover, old looking kind of blank books. I don't know. Eventually, maybe before I die, I'll find something to fill it with. My regrets, actually, but there's not enough pages. There's not enough volumes large enough to house all my shortcomings / regrets. But I was at a bookstore and I was walking along and my eyes darted over a book cover. And the author's name was like, I don't know, like Dan White or something, right? I don't remember exactly. But the combination, so the book cover had like the author's name on the top and then it had the title right under it. And it was in pretty big letters. So it said like Dan White. And then underneath it, it had the book title. And the book title was something like, I Love That Girl or something like that. It was some kind of teen. I was in the teen section. I was in the young adults section. I had glasses on, like a pair of glasses frames with no lenses just to appear smart. And I was just walking around looking at the Choose Your Own Adventure books. And I was like, I see, yes, the missing case of the missing Mona Lisa. I don't believe I've experienced that one. Maybe I'll take a gander at this. Oh, the Babysitter's Club. I wonder what they're up to right now. Yes, very interesting, very interesting. Oh, good day. I'm just here reading. I would say with my pants on backwards. But I'm walking through and my eyes just kind of slip past that cover. It's like Dan White, I Love That White, or I Love That Girl is the name of the book. And in my head, I saw that as, damn, I love that white girl. Which is, I mean, I don't need to tell you that that is the best book title. Well, that's the best title for anything. Song, book, Bible verse, you know, whatever is your pleasure. Damn, I Love That White Girl is a great name. So it shall be. And, you know, I mean, my story doesn't go anywhere. I did a little double take and was like, does that say do I have to buy many copies of this book? Do I have to buy the whole set, you know, for this? But then, you know, I used my eyes and I read and I said, oh, okay. I did that thing I do again where I make life way, way cooler than it actually is. And then I just got very sad and walked away. And I walked home. Bookless, obviously, demoralized, downtrodden, depressed, unloved, the exact opposite of that dear, darling white girl. So, I mean, that's the end of my story. It doesn't go anywhere. I didn't learn a lesson. There's no punchline. There's no joke. It's just, I saw something and I'm dumb. And that's what I thought it said. And unfortunately for just about everyone involved, It wasn't. But there's hope yet, dear friends, for I have started a Kickstarter campaign. And for the low, 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 low price of $7,000 per chapter, I, Dave, the Irradiated One, promise you, once the first chapter has been funded, I will write my new novel, my new erotic thriller, Damn, I Love That White Girl. So, open up your hearts, open up your wallets, let's get me papered. Let's become miners in a rowboat in the midst of a lake filled with toxic chemicals. Because that sounds like fun. Don't you want to be a granny? Hmm? Doesn't that sound like fun? See, this is the shit that this. Oh, okay, I didn't want to get upset. I tried, God, to get upset. I tried to not do this, but anyway. The entire point of a role-playing game is to play a role that you would like to play that might excite you in some fashion. You know, like, we all have boring fucking lives where we wake up in this hideous world. Huh? We drag ourselves out of bed. We masturbate furiously for some small tidbit of relief. And then go about our day. Going to a mindless, soul-slurping job. Finding joy wherever you can, for it is scarce and in short supply. So when you do a thing like a role-playing game, it's a beautiful thing. It can be so lovely because you assume an interesting life. You become someone else in a fantastical world. Where magic may exist, where technologies, besides just puking a rocket at the moon, trying to face fuck the moon with a rocket that falls off halfway through and just drifts endlessly through space. Where we have answers. Now, why oh why, when you have the limitless, boundaryless universe of creativity to choose from. You could be a fucking pirate. You can be a hippo man on a spacecraft, on a spaceboat. You could be a monster hunter. You could do this, you could do that, or you could be a miner, or you could be a granny miner. You could be old Grandma Dave working in the mines, just grannying it up. Why not? You paid for it. And people wonder why I have so many problems and felonies. And you know, maybe it's because I'm too empathetic. Maybe it's because I feel things a little bit more keenly than most. Maybe I let my emotions get away from me every now and again. Maybe my problem is count, and I've heard this count. I've heard this so many times, countless times, you may say. Dave, you just care too much. And it's true. I love a little bit too hard. I feel a little bit too intensely. But damn, Count. I love that white girl.
That's great and all, Dave, but I do have a suggestion for your book.
Actually, it's not a... As I said, it's an erotic thriller, not a you know, we got to sell this thing, Count. We got to up the sex appeal here if we're going to, we got to sensationalize it a little bit.
What was that thing you did with your hands?
No, you know, I just sensationalized. I just held up my hands and kind of shook them like a, I don't know. It just felt right. It just, I'm doing it right now.
Okay. Anyway, Dave, I like the fact that you're trying to expand your horizons, I guess, by doing a novel, I mean, I'm sorry, an erotic thriller. But the title is a little bit problematic, if I do say so myself.
What the... What do you have against love, Count?
Nothing. My issue isn't with the loving part. It's, you know, why do you feel the need to assume the gender of the character? Like, wouldn't a better title be, "Damn, I love that white person," or POW, person of whiteness?
Wouldn't that be POV in this particular case?
I don't get it. Never mind.
Forget it. Well, Count, I will take your considerate critiques into consideration and immediately discard them, because I want to wow people with my new book. Erotic thriller, I mean.
You did it again with your hands.
Oh, yeah. A little pizzazz. Little jazz hands every now and again. It's fun.